Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We're coming to you live from the Peter LaVenda is Missing headquarters, which tonight is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. Filling in for George Norrie tonight, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And this evening, well, it's like this. It's my three-year anniversary here on Coast, right? Man, oh man, how do we get here? And 3 years ago, my first guest was Peter LaVenda. And not to make a big deal out of it, but seriously, a whole lot has happened since Peter was on that first show 1,094 days ago. And back then, I want to share this with you. Back then, Peter had disappeared, and our conspiracy world, and this is no joke, was searching for him. And rumors back then had spread all over the net, you know, that he was in prison. He was abducted. He was kidnapped. He was being held against his will in some deep, dark dungeon by the very sinister forces that he had been writing about over the years. I mean, it was all over the place. So, you know, I did what every good show host and researcher does. I wrote him an email. That's what I did. I wrote him an email. And it went something like, you know, Peter, are you okay? Where are you? Is everything all right? And literally a few minutes later, he writes me back and he's like, dude, it's all good. What's up? I was like, that's not the kind of email I was expecting, you know? So immediately we were on the phone and I told him about the dust up on the web, the wild stories that were going around, you know, the panic in the streets, people freaking out. And he's laughing, you know, but the truth was that Peter was missing. And he was missing for a couple of years. He was globetrotting, researching, probably hanging out with Mick and the rest of the Stones over in the UK. But that's another story. But he went dark. And that's what good writers do. Shortly after our phone call, he came out of the closet in a big way. First, he came over on Fade to Black, and then a couple of weeks later, which was 3 years ago tonight, he was here on Coast to Coast. And then right after that, he spoke at Contact in the Desert, and things were good, and Peter's back, right? And it was just a whole lot of fun. But then it stopped again. 2 years ago, during one of our many lengthy phone conversations, he said that he was now involved with a group of important people. And that he wanted to tell me about it, but he couldn't. And, you know, that's not what friends do, right? But I trust Peter. And he said that they were working on the UFO question and that he had to go dark again. I was like, no, man, you can't do this, right? But he said that he would keep me updated. And I had to stay quiet and to keep things to myself. And I agreed to all of that. And to prove his point, he then texted me a picture. And it was of Peter and a group of men that were obviously in some large, ornate, official type of building in Washington, D.C. And I looked at that picture and I went, holy crap. Peter is up to his neck. This is crazyville, right? Now, since then, I've interviewed Peter many times, and he has written The Lovecraft Code over the last couple of years, and he just finished the follow-up to it. It's called Dunwich, and more on that later on tonight. It'll be released next month. But he also wrote Secret Machines, Gods, Volume 1 of Gods, Man, and War with Tom DeLonge, the foreword by Jacques Vallée. All right, that's why Peter went dark. And here's the thing. What does Lovecraft, JFK, UFOs, the secret space program, the Nine, and Tom DeLonge have in common? Well, connecting those dots are easy when you are Peter LaVenda. It's what he does. So get ready. Turn down the lights. You can follow me right now on Twitter at Jay Church Radio. You know the drill. Twitter is always live to my left at Jay Church Radio. Any questions or comments, post them, and maybe your tweet will get read on the air tonight. It's our three little celebratory anniversary here on Coast. Enjoy the bumper music, by the way. Yes, there's a little bit of a theme going on. I'm going to say not much. It's just really cool stuff. And later on, we're going to open up the phones. Why? Because it's another Friday night on Coast, and I do want to hear from you. Let's do this. Filling in for George Norrie, I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with my guest, Peter Lavenda. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. He's at a conference over in Las Vegas, him and Tom, and having a good time, and he does say hello to everybody. But I'm your host, Jimmy Church, on this Friday night, open lines all night long. Our guest tonight, Peter Lavenda, and this is the drill. And any questions or comments that you have for Peter tonight, you can just do that over on Twitter at Jay Church Radio. Very simple. But Peter, 3 years ago yesterday, well, it's, you know, tonight, you know, 3 years ago, was my first guest here. And we had so much fun. And when this night tonight just kind of snuck up on us, it was just kind of really weird. Wow, here we are. It's 3 years. It's tonight. And there's only one way to do it, and that is with Peter. So he is here. He has been investigating and writing about the connections that exist between politics and religion and history since the 1970s. His first book, Unholy Alliance, was published in 1994. And since then, he's published Sinister Forces, which is a three-volume series that searches for the meaning behind some of the most famous historical events in American history. Now, his research has taken him to Chile during the Pinochet regime, by the way, to Chinese military bases, prisons, Indian and Japanese temples all over the southeast of Asia, where he lived for nearly 10 years, and throughout Europe and Latin America. He's appeared numerous times in television documentaries here on Coast to Coast and, of course, my other show, Fade to Black. The novel, The Lovecraft Code, was published last year, and the first installment of his three-volume work for Tom DeLonge's Secret Machines Project, Secret Machines Gods, was published this year in March of 2017. He has a degree in religious studies and Asian studies, is a member of the American Academy of Religion, as well as the Association of Former Intelligence Officers. I have no idea what that means. I would like to welcome back to Coast, the one and only Peter Lavenda. Peter, good evening.
Good evening to you, Jimmy. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Oh, you know the drill, man. Thank you, Peter. Absolutely, thank you. Let's actually start here. You've lived one of the craziest, most fun lives that one could imagine. But when you went dark and resurfaced, you know, here and over on Fade to Black and, of course, Coast to Coast, and then, you know, to say to a friend like me, Jimmy, I got to go dark again. You know, you're breaking hearts, right? And nobody knew what was going on. Pretty crazy last couple of years for you, even in the Peter Lavenda world, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been quite a ride the last 3 years. I think you probably jump-started it, Jimmy. I think that interview on Coast 3 years ago today is probably what set that whole thing in motion. I don't know, man, but it seems that way.
If I'm responsible for that, okay, I'm going to forward the emails to you that are about to happen. But, yeah, pretty crazy. And you had told me then that you said, Jimmy, buckle up, this is going to, and you wouldn't tell me anything, and I'm glad that you didn't. Well, you told me very little, I should say. But you had told me that the impact was going to be tremendous. Now that the announcement from DeLonge has just happened, and you and I talked about that the day before and the day after the announcement, and maybe the day of, and the impact of that, how do you think things are sitting now 3 weeks later?
Well, we've gotten it's been a double-edged sword. We've gotten a lot of very positive response. You know, Leslie Kane wrote very positively about it, and a few other journalists have reacted positively. But there's also been a lot of sort of the kind of pushback that we pretty much expected. When this started 3 years ago, now for me it's about 3 years, just shortly after that three-year, you know, mark back in 2014, that's when this all started for me. And I told Tom at that point, I said, you know, you're going to get one hell of a lot of pushback, particularly from the UFO community. They're not going to like this. They're just not. I mean, you're coming in from, left field, kind of. You're a rock star, right? And now you're going to make this huge splash, in the UFO world. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to not like them, just automatically going to think that you're just in it for the glory or for the money or for whatever. They're not going to understand, and Tom's reaction was, well, yeah, sure, but we got to do it. This is something that we really have to do. We have the access that we need, and we know the people we need to talk to, and let's get to the bottom of this. I remember the first conversation I had with Tom was, what we're going to do is we're going to knock on doors, we're going to fly around, we're going to grab people by the lapels, and we're going to find out what really is going on, or we're going to do the best that we can to find that out. And he said, we're just going to do this because, it's got to get done. And he impressed me with his background in the material because I had come at it, as you know, from a different, angle completely. I came from the political, conspiracy angle into the UFO field.
That's right.
But he came at it straight on. I mean, for tw last 20 years at least, he's been involved in studying UFOs. So he knew the literature, he knew the players, he knew the names, he knew the controversies and the scandals and all the rest of it. And he didn't care. He just wanted to throw himself into it and let's see what happens, And that's what started it. And it was only, I think, 6 months after that interview we had on Coast that I find myself in D.C. and I'm talking to, John Podesta.
Right.
I mean, all of that happened really, really quickly, and it really didn't stop from there, except when the email hack started. Then, of course, we went dark again. Everybody went dark. We all went dark. It was just, it was it wasn't a pleasant moment when that happened, and we had to regroup and restructure. But where we are at now, we're talking to people. We have got some fascinating people who are belonging, who have, joined the team from all different walks of life. People kind of think it's just a whole bunch of military or intel guys, but it's not. It's a bunch of scientists, people in genetics and neurobiology, as well, of course, as the guy from Skunk Works who's, really involved in the propulsion aspects of these things and laser systems and particle accelerators and that sort of thing. So you have, quite a cross-section of not just the military and intelligence stuff, which is kind of necessary from, the way we've approached this whole thing, but also the sciences, the hard sciences. And I'm hoping to branch out a little bit better into some of the cultural stuff as well, the religious, philosophical, psychological aspect of things as well. All of this has got to be taken into play here. That's what our goal is.
Well, with your style of research, which is connecting the dots and making everything make sense, that is what you are best at. Now you're literally on the inside here, and I know exactly what you're doing. You're doing the Lavenda connecting the dots thing. Are you happy with the way that things are working out? Are you connecting the dots and are things making sense to you?
Oh yeah, let me say from the outset, I've been publishing books now for a very long time, and everything that I've written are those are all books that I've wanted to do, and they all say what I want them to say, and this is no different. I haven't, changed my approach to, research and investigation and reporting because I'm working with Tom DeLonge. It's in fact probably just the opposite. I'm probably more focused than ever in getting it right. So if I thought for an instant, for a moment, that something was not right with this, that I was being fed a line, that I was being manipulated in some way, I'm out of here. Because I have my own reputation, and I've never tried to pander to a demographic. I've never tried to write in such a way that I would be more acceptable than if I didn't. I think my books sort of speak for themselves that way. So I've always been, really focused on the material. I need the documents. I need to know what people are actually saying, what they're writing, what they're doing. I need to talk to people and find out what they really mean. And that's what I base my research on. So the very first volume, Gods, was you know, I think from my perspective, typical Lavenda kind of thing. People have, you know, in some cases objected, saying that this is, you know, we wanted something different from you. And I'm trying to tell people, I'm reporting what actually we are discussing. These are the things that are being talked about. And we're breaking it down into three volumes because the sort of religious stuff was in the first volume. In the second volume, we're getting more into the science and some of the deeper scientific philosophy, if you will, behind this phenomenon. And then the third volume is going to be even more sort of striking in its material. So am I happy with where it's going? Yeah, I think that we're really on the right track. And the people that have joined this organization, the people that I'm talking with, that I'm communicating with, they're giving me very excellent feedback. Some of the chapters for the second book, I'm, you know, handing around for people to make their comments on, to correct any errors coming from the scientific side or from the, you know, the government side or the military side, trying to understand what they're trying to tell me and making sure in the process that I understand and can support their edits, let's say, of my material. And they've been pretty very good. They've been commenting, they've been reinforcing the things that I've been saying. If they've had some sort of a comment or criticism to make, they're very clear about why. So far, so good. I feel that I'm being supported in this work rather than being guided in it, if you will.
For those that have followed your career and read your books, they know that it would take something very big to shock you, to move you. Have you been shocked yet? Have you been exposed to some information that even for Peter Lavenda, that you have to step back and take pause?
Let me put it this way. I've seen a lot of strange stuff in my life, starting from when I was in my mid-teens, going straight on through. You know, I've seen a lot of really weird things, and I've come to appreciate people who are so frustrated that they're not being taken seriously because of things they've experienced and things that they've seen. And the UFO community is one major group of people like that, right? You have the experiencers, you have people who are frustrated because they're not being taken seriously. So I'm very, sympathetic towards that point of view because I know that I've, you know, seen things that, you know, and experienced things that are inexplicable. But since becoming involved in this project, I think what's happened more than anything else is I've received confirmation of things that I thought were true or things that I experienced myself without being able to put them into words, really. And I've received this confirmation from people who were at some point in their careers at the highest levels of the government and military. When you receive confirmation like that, that kind of blows you away, you know, because you're sort of operating on, you know, automatic pilot for a long time. In the back of your mind is, well, no one's going to believe me if I say this. You know, no one's really going to take this seriously. I've got to be careful how I phrase this or how I word this. But then I'm sitting around a table with a bunch of people and they're, you know, without breaking confidences and without breaking their security clearances, which is another important, you know, aspect of all of this, that they don't, you know, violate security. But taking that into consideration, the confirmation that I've received that some of the things that the UFO community is concerned about, they are confirming this. They are saying yes. You know, like, for instance, in that presentation that Tom did to announce the Academy, you had Luis Elizondo saying, yeah, it's real. You know, the UFO phenomenon is real. And he was in the department that no one knew existed that was charged with monitoring this stuff. So it's that kind of confirmation that you get from people, sometimes on a sort of visceral level. They just stare at you in the eyes and say, yeah, you know, yeah, that happened. And that sort of thing is what kind of fuels all of this. And it inspires you to reach further because there's a lot more we can do than what we have done in the UFO community. We've got to kind of change our mindsets on this a little bit. We've got to start thinking like 21st century people.
Well, let me jump in right there because we have to take a break, Peter. But when we come back, when you say confirmation, I would like to know, how did that confirmation come to you? What was the medium? This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. Our guest is Peter Lavenda. More with Peter after this short break. Stay with us. Man, oh, man. I'm going to tell you something. Every drummer on this planet, when they're recording, walks into the studio, looks at the engineer and says, give me Bonham sound on When the Levee Breaks. That's just the way it is. That's the law. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, my guest is Peter Lavenda. His last 3 years has been a little bit crazy. He's also cranked out a couple of books. The second one, To the Love Code, Lovecraft Code, is going to be released next month, called Dumwich. And we're going to talk about that too as well. But I want to know what the evidence that confirmed the UFO question for him that he was presented in his last 3 years. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Peter Lavenda. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. Sitting in for George Norrie tonight on this Friday. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest is Peter Lavenda. Now, Peter, right before the break. Oh, it's Friday night. Can I talk you into taking some phone calls?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. Get ready, everybody. We'll do that at the top of the hour. And thank you for that. I just blindsided Peter, but, you know, he's Peter Lavenda. Peter, right before the break, you had said, you dropped a little bit of a bombshell right there. You said that you had things confirmed for you. Now, that doesn't come easy in your world. So when you say confirmed, what confirmed it? What was the medium? Was it paperwork? Was it photographic evidence? Was it testimony? Was it a video? Help me understand what happened.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. Peter,
I'm old, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, I'm not that old either, and there's no way that that's going past me. And, you know, the audience, everybody just sat a little bit closer to their speakers and said, you know, did Peter just say confirmed?
Yeah, well, okay, let me break that down for you. You know, everybody who's been involved in the UFO field, the study, whatever you want to call it, for any length of time,
right,
knows that when they bring up that subject, they're met with one of two reactions. The first is either ridicule, right? People just sort of laughing about little green men and all the rest of it and thinking you're insane. Or you get sometimes the other reaction, which is people who believe absolutely everything they've ever heard, right? Which includes UFOs, right?
Right.
So it's really hard to get a sober conversation on this subject among people in positions of authority. That almost never happens. I was in meetings this past 3 years, sitting around a table with people, some of whom, you know, are on that To the Stars Academy website. And these are people who were in government or were in the military or in science, sitting around and discussing this phenomenon without attempting to convince anybody of anything, because everybody at that table accepted the reality of it. So what I mean to say is you're sitting in a room with people who had, you know, security clearances, still maintain them, and who are discussing this like it's normal to discuss it. Discussing it from the point of view of, yeah, sure, it exists, it's there, it's real. And they're not talking about proof of trying to prove to me or to each other that this is real. They've gone past that. They're now trying to understand it. And they're trying to understand it from their various disciplines or their various backgrounds. They're contributing to the study as opposed to, well, as I said from the very beginning of this particular project, of the To the Stars project, the Secret Machines project, we are starting from the basis that we're not trying to prove to anybody that the phenomenon is real. Forget that. It's real. Done. Over. What we have to do now is figure out what it means and where do we go from here. How do we interpret our civilization, our society, in terms of the fact that we have had these experiences, this exists, there has been contact over and over and over again. And my being in these meetings was confirmation of that. Everybody just sitting around talking about it as if it's a done deal. They all know this is true. They all know this has taken place. They all know that the phenomenon is real.
I understand accepting the idea or accepting the reality, but taking it a step further and saying that they have handled the evidence, they have they have the paperwork, they have the videos, they're the Air Force and the CIA has direct contact, that's taking it to the next step. So the question is actually a little bit more direct, Peter. It's one thing to accept the reality, and it's another one to have handled the evidence or the proof, and that these documents exist and they are out there.
If you look at the website and you just scan down the names and the bios of these people, I'm not going to say which ones because we're still in the middle of all this, but just pick out any three or four. If you're in a room with these people, with any three or four people on that list, and you're sitting in a room and you're basically eavesdropping on a conversation among people who are already there, that means they have had the confirmation. They have either seen the documents or whatever evidence that they needed.
Right.
People in military, people in the government, people in the intelligence field, scientists, that they're already operating on the assumption, well, the conviction that this is genuine.
Right.
Right. When they're talking like that, to my way of thinking, to my understanding, if they're actually discussing it that way, from that point of view, that's confirmation for me.
Right.
Because they're not trying to convince me of anything.
Well,
they're talking amongst themselves, right? And Tom will sometimes ask a question, well, what about this or what about that? You know, or, you know, is what about, how do we approach this? And then a conversation will ensue based on that, not, what are you talking about? You're insane, you know, or, you know, we're still not convinced there's a UFO out there. None of that is happening, right? The conversation proceeds along the lines of, yeah, sure, of course, you know, but they don't even bother saying, yeah, sure, of course. You know what I mean?
I do.
They're past it. So this is what we're trying to do in the books that I'm writing for Tom DeLong, is I'm trying to demonstrate this mentality, this attitude, which is based on evidence, based on facts, but taking this whole thing one step further. You know, how now do we reinterpret our society in light of this? The reason we're asking this question is because we have to ask it now. We're running out of time because of what's happening to the global system in general, what's happening to the planet as far as intelligence gathering, as far as technology is concerned, the internet and all the rest of it. We have to start asking these questions that we've put off asking for 70 years. We've just been asking, is it real? Is it true? Can you give us disclosure? Can you show us an alien? Can you show us a captured, you know, spacecraft?
Right.
We've got to get past that right now.
Well, there are those, Peter, you know, that's for a large section of not only our community, but the world. That's just not good enough.
Oh, I know that.
For me, no. I don't need proof of anything. I've seen stuff in the skies. I absolutely cannot explain. I know that there is a phenomenon here that is real. I don't need it. But there are those out there that will not be satisfied until that stuff is put on the table and it's broadcast on live television and the documents are out there and it's confirmed. And that's where the problem starts, not only for you or for Tom, but for the community that is facing the military industrial complex in Washington, D.C.
Well, let me read you a brief sentence. Was written by a guy called Jorge Soto, which probably no one's ever heard of on this channel, but he talked to the Global Agenda Council in Switzerland a couple of years ago. And he sort of sums up, he wasn't talking about UFOs, but what he was talking about has tremendous relevance and it kind of tells you what we're up against and what we're trying to accomplish. He writes, thanks to the internet, the public can identify people with the same values and fears, exchange ideas, and build relationships faster than ever before. Our governments are simply not part of that conversation. We have 19th century institutions with 20th century mindsets attempting to communicate with 21st century citizens. And that's the problem.
Right.
What we have is a lot of our people in general around the world are sort of hamstrung by these 19th century institutions, you know, with those 20th century mindsets. We're trying to get past it because the only way we're really going to get the kind of confirmation that everybody wants is if they can understand the data when they get it. Let me give you another example. An article just appeared in The Atlantic. What if China is the first country to make contact?
Right.
Right?
Right. Read it.
Well, look at it from that point of view then. If we're going to be sitting here arguing about whether or not, you know, the government knows something or whoever, somebody else knows something, we're still thinking in a very American-centric point of view that America is going to be the country that, you know, we're asking disclosure to come from Washington, D.C. But disclosure could come from anywhere at any time. We have to be prepared for it, and we have wasted, in my estimation, 70 years. If we think back to 1951, when that movie came out, The Day the Earth Stood Still, with Michael Rennie, right? The first one.
Yep.
That was supposed to take place in Washington, D.C. in July of 1951. And Michael Rennie, you know, Klaatu comes and warns the world about, you know, we're destroying ourselves. The rest of the universe will not tolerate it. We'll be punished, whatever. And Gort is there, you know, to make sure we all, you know, obey and do the things we're supposed to do. That was in July of 1951. In July of 1952, we had the famous UFO overflights in Washington, D.C., a year later exactly. Right? Nothing was done. We didn't take the message of the film, which was a very noble sort of message. We didn't understand about the overflights in Washington, which happened exactly a year later. And then in 2008, we make another movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, this time with Keanu Reeves. And it's the same damn message, right? It's the same message. All these years, 57 years goes by, and we're still being told the same message. Something is, we're not ready for what you're talking about, because we haven't cleaned up our act, really. We're still at each other's throats. So if there's a landing on the White House lawn at this point, in the, considering the political and military situation in the world today, we're screwed. However, all that being said, let me jump in with something else. The Pentagon recently released a paper. It's called At Our Own Peril: The Department of Defense Risk Assessment in a Post-Primacy World. The Pentagon is actually now writing reports on how the United States, especially the military, from a security point of view in general, is going to survive in a world in which the United States is no longer, has lost its primacy, has lost its political and economic and military primacy. How do we function in that world? You know, how do we maintain security in a world where we're no longer, you know, the biggest kid on the block, because we have so many other things that are contending for power and influence on the planet?
Well, when you have somebody that was, you know, the former head of research for Skunk Works on your team,
yeah.
I think the public is expecting him to say, or to the stars in general, to say that, okay, Skunk Works was using alien technology for this advanced aircraft design. We are now incorporating that same alien technology with To the Stars, and we are going to introduce this into the commercial sector for different airline and airplane development. That's what they're expecting. Can we expect that to come from To the Stars?
They're not going to come out and say, bluntly, we got this from aliens, right? they're going to demonstrate technology that is going to look science fiction-esque to anybody. They're going to have to draw their own conclusions. And part of the reason for this, once again, are the security clearances. This is the problem that we face.
Right.
If the government itself, people currently in the government, you know, political leaders, military people at the Pentagon, if they come out and tell us something, would we believe it at this point? We have had our faith in pronouncements from government leaders severely shaken in the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years or more, right? We've had from Watergate on, or from the assassinations on. We are now kind of reluctant, and we're going to, they could come out and tell us, here's an alien, and it's going to be attacked from 10 different quarters, trying to debunk it, trying to analyze, why are they telling us this? What is the real game that's going on? What are they really up to, right? We can't take anything for granted. There's going to be a huge amount. It's not going to be like in the movies where they bring out an alien on television and everybody bows down and says, oh, wow, you were right all along. It's not going to happen that way. We know that. We know we're going to challenge anything that comes out. What we won't challenge is the technology. If the technology shows up and it does things that we haven't been able to do so far, we are not going to challenge that. We're going to accept that. And eventually the penny will drop that people are thinking in terms that are not part of our standard Western civilization approach to science, right? There's going to be something that's totally fringe, right, that's going to be taking place. People are going to be talking about things and representing things in such a way that we're going to have to really scramble to figure out what it all means. Because this is not as simple as people think it is. It's not as simple as landing on the White House lawn. In the first place, why would anybody land on the White House lawn, right? I mean, it's just, they would land maybe in the Amazon somewhere. Why would we assume that the visitors, let's call them that, think the same way we do? Maybe they even despise the idea of individuality. You know, maybe we're dealing with a culture, if let's just speculate for a while, because I'm not basing this on anything that I know.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say we're dealing with a culture that has a hive mentality, right, in which there are no individuals. And our insistence on individuality is something they're going to find either obscene or savage or bizarre or inexplicable. They won't be able to deal with. There's all sorts of problems that will come up. There's all sorts of problems in dealing with this. And when we insist that we want to see a flying saucer or a little green man, we may be missing the point here. We may be wallowing in evidence of alien contact. We may have been wallowing in it for years and not seen it for what it was. Because we are projecting our own insistence that it has to look like this, you know. It has to take a certain image. It's got to show up as something in particular, and if it doesn't, we're pissed off.
We are in exciting times, Peter, very exciting times, and I don't know where things are going to lead over the next 3 to 6 months, but I can expect a lot, and we should expect a lot from this kind of announcement. Well, it's Friday night. Let's open up the phone lines. Our guest tonight is Peter Lavenda, sitting in for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM.